Verse 1, 2, and 3. You know, a lot of you, or the ones that weren't here last night, I don't care for you. Y'all missed a real meeting. Tim and Mike Mallory were at the rescue mission, so well, they were down there preaching the gospel, but they missed the blessing. Y'all missed a real blessing, brother. We had a meeting last night. We started at 7 o'clock and we ended up at 12:30. We shut the thing out and went home and I wasn't tired of it. I wasn't sleepy. I wasn't tired. I was just rejoicing. It was a real blessing. And it's one of the best things I've ever been in.
Amen.
Because it was a meeting of rejoicing. It wasn't a meeting of preaching or a meeting of teaching. It's a meeting of rejoicing.
Amen.
And these three verses here I've been this morning. This is what we did last night. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen.
Call upon his name.
Amen.
Make known his deeds among the people.
Amen. And
sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk to him all his wondrous works.
Amen.
Glory be in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Amen.
As we did last night. We talked last night. We praised the Lord. And we talked of his wondrous works.
Amen.
He made known his deeds among his people. And I'm thankful for all he did. I'm thankful for the meeting last night.
Amen.
The refreshing, the time of blessing to every one of us that was here. I'm sure that if you were here last night, you received a blessing. I don't think you could have been here and not received a blessing last night.
Amen.
If you didn't receive a blessing last night, you must have been asleep. Or maybe you were unconscious of that. You couldn't be here last night not receiving a blessing. That meeting was a real refreshing, real encouragement to me.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to send them to come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Praise the Lord.
He can save a wretch like me, he can save anybody.
Amen.
My mother was 85 years old and she was saved.
Amen.
Because she's old or not. I was pretty old myself. But she was 85. And
praise the Lord.
I want to praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
I had a real blessing. Last night was such a joy to me. And I just had some verses I'd like to share. And James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And some 6 or 7 years ago, I was an enemy of God. And the Lord brought me to a place and he showed me that. He said, "Lynn, you are my enemy." And that's a terrible feeling to know you're the creator, the God who created all this. The God who created me is my enemy and has the power to wipe me out at the snap of a finger was my enemy. And I praise God, Joey, that there were people that made known to me the works of the Lord.
Amen.
There were some people that told me of his wondrous works.
Amen.
But God just didn't leave me as his enemy. There I sat in a trailer in San Marcos going, "Oh, I'm his enemy. No hope," you know, but God didn't just leave me there and say, "Go away, you're too simple, you're an enemy, get away from me." And Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, he gave me a beautiful verse.
Amen.
It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners,
amen,
Christ died for us."
Amen.
I took out the end, that's what me. He died for me while I was a sinner. He didn't ask me, "Okay, Leanne, you go and you clean up your life, you get out of your sin. You change everything about you and you become a good person and then I'll love you." No, God said, "Like you are today, at this very moment, I love you so much that I died for it."
Amen.
And that just blessed my heart. And I called upon the Lord and he saved me and he has given me friends and joy and peace and beautiful life and friends and friendship.
Amen.
Something that I could never gain out in the world. And I would encourage you to say, if you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you've never called upon him and asked him to let him become a part of your life, there's a difference between knowing about Jesus Christ and knowing
Jesus Christ.
And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, I'm more than happy. I'll take my Bible and I'll show you. My husband will show you anything.
Amen.
We'll show you the Word. And I just want y'all to have the joy Jesus Christ has given
you. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Joy of salvation.
Amen. I'm singing number 15.
Amen. Looks like I missed a meeting last night.
Amen.
Hey, man, I wasn't with Tim at the rescue mission, though. We were at a wedding. You know, I wasn't down there at the rescue mission. I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed out everywhere. So. You know, I just wanted to praise the Lord for saving my soul and for changing my life. And also for blessing my family in a special way this year. We've been praying about some things for many years, and we saw yes occur this year. That's a blessing.
Amen.
But the Lord's been merciful to us, and he's done some wonderful things for us, and we just want to praise his name.
Amen.
And I look back and see the power of God manifested through his church. And we've been thanking the Lord for our salvation, for our church, for many things, and I've just kind of been loitering around Proverbs chapter 9. You were preaching on it the other night. And we can turn there. There's a few things that I just want to thank the Lord about for his church. You know, the Bible generally talks about the church as her or she. And wisdom here is, we can kind of look at it as terms of a lady, or as in terms of a church. God's faithful church. It starts out here, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath honed out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath furnished her table.
Amen.
She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn him hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread.
Amen.
Drink of the wine which I have mingled.
Amen.
Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding.
Amen.
You know, I saw that as verse 1 there says, wisdom that builded her house. You know, the church has built something.
Right.
Church has built something. I see in our lives this year, I've seen the church build some saints. And it's a miraculous thing. It's a pleasurable thing
Amen.
To see.
Amen.
It's something that's exciting. It's something that's alive.
Amen.
The church has built something out here. The church is building. A faithful church is a growing, living thing.
Amen.
And it can't help from growing and building and making other people alive, too.
Amen.
And I just want to thank the Lord for a faithful church, for his faithful work. God is faithful, and where he is, faithfulness occurs. Where he is, building occurs. Where he is, saints get built up.
Amen.
And I just was around here, you know, and other people were around here, and we got built up. We got blessed. Look here, it says, verse 2, she hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath furnished her table. You know, a faithful church has got something on its table. You know, the faithful church has got something
Amen.
To eat. It's got something
Amen.
To serve. It's got a faithful, furnished, supplied, well-stocked table.
Yeah, amen.
And I just eat of it. I praise the Lord. There's a lot of places throughout the city, just this city, that the table's barren. People with problems that have looked at their lives and seen that death is coming and everything's destroyed, and they picked up their eyes and said, well, maybe I'll try God. And they stumble in a place with nothing on the table. And they just sit there and they don't realize that there is something.
Amen.
They just see that old dead church or that dead message that where no life is. So without the faithfulness of God there, and there's nothing there. But there is a faithful
table. Amen.
There is a place where you can get food. There is a furnished table. And I just praise the Lord for a table that's furnished.
Amen.
Look here at verse 3. She sent forth her maidens. You know, I'm so grateful to be a part of a place that sent forth maidens to Mexico.
Amen.
Sent forth maidens down to the rescue mission, down to the streets of San Antonio.
Amen.
Maidens are going out with a message.
Amen.
And it's a blessing to see that. It's
Amen.
A message of Christ upon the high place of the city. Whoso is simple. And the message, we saw last week that, you know, this is similar to the message of the death in that verse 4 and verse 16 are the same, but verse 6 is different. I mean, verse 5 is different. If there's something here, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. There is something here.
Amen.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's to come
Amen.
And die.
Amen.
Praise God. Right. There's something to eat.
Amen.
There's something to take. There's something to change your life.
Amen.
And my life got changed.
Praise
the Lord. It's renewed every day.
Amen.
And then the message, forsake the foolish and live, go in the way of understanding. You know, there's a different church down in 13 to the rest of the chapter. It's instead of a church that builds, it's a church that sits. Look at verse 4. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in a high place of the city. Instead of a church that sends out, it's a church that just sits in the gate and calls whoever kind of stumbles by. It's a church with a dead message. Look at 17. Stolen waters are sweet and bread, and secret places is pleasant. That's just a promise of something. It's not even really there.
That's right.
And then the death. You know, about 8 years ago, me and Cindy were visiting in Dallas, and some people, it was Saturday night, it was, you know, we'd go out to eat, and they took us to a, about 100 years ago, it was a church. Turned into a restaurant. And I sat in there, I just couldn't eat. And, you know, 100 years ago, a church, a Protestant church in Dallas, stood for something. Looked at the pulpit, was still there. You know, message of salvation went out of that. Baptism, you know, the little baptism fount where people were immersed, and places where people came up and got saved and got their lives changed. Now they had deacon burgers in there, and the spiritual fair was martinis, and ladies running around in miniskirts serving instead of, you know, saints of God serving up thanksgiving and praise, and people coming in and getting saved and giving forth the gospel. And it was the most horrible thing I've ever sat through. What's the difference? What's the difference? I see our church 50 years from now. Is it a restaurant? Is it going to turn into what looks like a bonanza? Or is it going to be a place that has its table furnished? It's going to be a place that's still sending forth maidens. It's going to be a place with a message.
Amen.
You know, the difference is Jesus.
Amen.
It's certainly not us. Amen. We're just a bunch of ragtag people, but the difference is Jesus.
Amen.
And I just thank the Lord for the difference. The difference that made in my family, my life, it's a practical difference. It's a difference that we are. It's a difference a lot. That is praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. You know, this is a bonanza. I don't know if you know what bonanza means or not, but if you were here last night, you would have understood what a bonanza
is. That's right.
We got the riches of the Lord last night. We feasted on the living bread. You know, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth because of a lot of problems. And maybe someday we'll have some of the same problems. But last night, something happened that just proved what Paul is talking about here. I want you to listen. We're going to read 12 through 27. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Amen.
Now, this is not some thing that we're to attain to. Paul is saying this is what actually exists. The body is one and yet has many members.
Yeah.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him.
Amen.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body.
Amen.
And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, listen to this, and whether one member suffer, all of the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular.
Amen.
You know, last night when I was sitting here listening to the different testimonies, I was thinking, you know, if our human body, our natural body, had an opportunity to do what we did here last night, I just wonder what would happen. You know, can you imagine the opportunity for instance, the stomach to say to the mouth, I sure do thank you. You have really satisfied me. What if the mouth had refused to open, you know? The stomach is growling. I mean, the stomach is really hungry. And the mouth refuses to open, you know? But so someone says, Mouth, I really thank you. I really appreciate that you opened up and took some food in and satisfied my needs. Yeah. What about the head? Wouldn't the head say to the feet, Feet, I sure do thank you that you took me where I needed to be.
Yeah, amen.
I just got to thinking about the different members, you know. What about the whole body saying to the heart, Heart, I sure do thank you, you keep on beating.
Man.
Day after day, week after week, year after year. I mean, all night long, when the rest of me is asleep, you just keep on working. You know, I just got to thinking about how often in the church we forget just what Bill was talking about, that we need each other.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't hear anybody last night saying, you know, I'm so glad that God made me a lone ranger. I don't need anybody. He made me self-sufficient. That's what Paul was talking about here. He was trying to impress upon those Corinthians, they needed each other.
Amen.
They were not one member of just a cell all by themselves, but they were rather a member of a body, and they could only live and they could only function as a body functioned together. And I think last night we saw the reality of that.
Right.
I think we were made aware last night again of the fact that we actually need each other.
Amen.
And this is not some spiritual or mystical idea at all. This is the most practical thing in the world.
Amen.
I mean, God put us here together because we need each other.
Amen.
You know, I learned a long time ago that any member of my body that gets hurt is going to be all right as long as it stays attached to the body. And yet, you know what? That's what happens so many times in churches. Somebody gets hurt and they separate themselves from the church. Well, that's the most foolish thing in the world. The only healing there's going to be is in the body.
Right.
And yet they withdraw themselves from the body and they say, I'm not going back until I get to feeling better. Well, friend, you're not going to get to feeling any better as long as you're apart from the body. Amen. The healing is in the body. And then I learned a long time ago, too, that I used to read the Bible, and I still do, I guess, in some places. But I used to read it altogether different than what it really says. It says, if one member suffer, the whole body suffers. And I used to read that, and this was the way I read it. If one member suffers, the whole body ought to suffer. I mean, that's what we think, isn't it?
Right.
We think that if some brother or sister in church really suffers, then we ought to try to suffer with them. Now, that's not what Paul said. Paul said, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers with it.
Amen.
And you know, that's true, physically.
Yeah.
You drop something on your toe, and you know, you don't have to give announcement to the rest of your body and say, look, your toe's hurting, you need to hurt with it. I mean, you start hurting immediately all over. I mean, your ears hurt, your fingers hurt, you hurt all over. Maybe it's even more true of a toothache. You know, when your tooth hurts, man, you can't think about anything except that tooth. You know, you hurt all over. Well, the sad thing is that we don't experience physical pain in the church. The church is a body that doesn't have physical pain among its members. I mean, when one member suffers in a spiritual way, there's not something that's called pain that's transmitted to us. We don't feel anything, and yet we suffer.
Right.
You see, suffering has nothing to do with pain. We've made the mistake of thinking that a feeling has to be associated with something. Another curse of feeling. And since I don't feel, then I must not suffer. And that's not true. There are people that are born without any sense of feeling in their body. And they can lay their hand on a stove and burn their flesh and never feel anything. Have they suffered? Not in the sense of feeling, but they've suffered the loss. There's been a loss. There has been hurt. There's been damage to the body. And the body is going to have the consequence of that in it. And you know, that's the truth. And that's the reason we need to pray for one another. This is maybe a selfish thing to consider, but we need to pray for one another because when one member of the body suffers, it eventually is going to cause me to suffer.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay the consequence when one brother or one sister, now we may not recognize that, and we may think that we're not suffering, but we really are. But the other is true also. If one member of the body is honored, then the whole body rejoices.
Amen.
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 Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
I mean, I don't have to be honored. I don't have to be given anything special at all. If any member of the body is honored, then I'm honored with it.
Amen.
I can rejoice with it. I can really experience with them all that they experience. And why? Because we're really one member. I mean, one body. We're many members, but we're one body in Christ. And you know, last night it was really a joy to see the different parts of the body stand up and recognize the head saying to the feet, and the hand saying to the eye, and the ear saying to the nose, you know, I love you.
Amen.
I appreciate you. You've been such a blessing to me. And I really thank the Lord for being a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And in this, in particular, the body of Christ is located right here.
Amen.
There is, of course, a larger body of Christ that we know. That's the spiritual body of Christ. But, you know, we're not too involved with that body right now. But we are involved with a body of Christ that's functioning right here on this earth. And I'm so glad, you know, that we've learned some things. A long time ago, Linda and I saw some of these things, and we wondered if it could really be worked out. We wondered if it could really ever. And I remember in the beginning how difficult it was. It was like pulling hinge teeth, you know, get somebody to stand up and give a testimony. It was so difficult to get somebody to stand up and share the word. And now it's just the opposite. It's almost like calling. Now, you know, we got to say, sit down. You've already been up too many times. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I'd a whole lot rather have that problem than the other one.
Amen.
I remember really where so many times Brother Lindo had to preach because nobody would share. He'd wind up doing all the preaching. And now we have so many people. Why? Because we have been, we are growing. We are seeing things that God has intended for us to practice, and we've been practicing it, and now it's working, it's functioning. The body of Christ really works.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Look at Isaiah 61. Brother Willie Cosby went home last night, and again this morning whenever I got him up, and he headed out on the road to go preach another place. He said, Brother Lindell, I want you to know I've never seen a service like that in all my life. That's the first time I ever seen anything like that in my life. He said, that was wonderful. It's a blessing. He had an appointment last night. He had to call twice to cancel that thing because we didn't get out of here, you know. It's a blessing.
Amen.
Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Amen.
To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes.
Amen.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Amen.
The garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness.
Amen.
They might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Amen.
You know, this is a prophecy, a direct prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And when he stands up in his home synagogue back in the days of his ministry, he stood up and had the roll scroll of Isaiah brought to him and read this and said, this day is this message, this prophecy fulfilled in your very ears. You know, that's exactly the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is a Savior. Jesus came to save. What do you mean by save? You mean save something that's bound for destruction, or save something that's bound to die, or save something that's going to be lost. And the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ to come was to save sinners.
Amen.
He came to save sinners. In saving sinners, bless your heart, I want you to know he did. He preached good tidings.
Amen.
He bound up broken hearts. He proclaimed liberty, and he opened the prison to those that were bound.
Amen.
He changed things around for him. He comforted those that mourn. He gave them beauty for ashes and joy for mourning and praise for heaviness, and they're called
Amen.
The trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. My, what a difference, Leanne, it makes when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I had religion 10 years, but then I found the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a difference it makes to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior.
Amen.
It's just not the same.
Amen.
It's just not the same. Let me recommend to you, if you're not saved, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you of your sins and believe that God Almighty died in your place, that Jesus Christ paid your debt, and that he'll save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
I know that some of you may be bound and brokenhearted. You may be in a prison house of your own making or sins making. You may have a lot of ashes in your life and a lot of mourning and a lot of heaviness. But I want you to know Jesus Christ came to change all that.
Amen.
He came to change all that. In a very real way, the day that a person calls upon Jesus Christ and gets saved, all of this stuff begins to change. And it's amazing, as we went around here last night and you listen to the stories of some of the ashes that have been changed to the whole.
Hallelujah.
You listen to some Bible the stories of mourning that had been turned around to the gladness and joy. Lift the son that had been bound in the prison house of sin, and our God had changed their lives. You heard a testimony, a couple of testimonies this morning, Leanne and Mike right here. What God has done within their life, something happened. It's real.
Amen.
It's real. It changes lives. It changed my life nearly 30 years ago. My friends said I'd be back with them a couple of weeks. Had a bad case of religion. I'd get over it. Most people do. Oh, I didn't get over it. Praise God.
Amen.
It's gotten better and better.
Amen.
Because it was real. I'd had religion before. I found a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. Let me say something else. I want to talk to you as a church tonight. You know, even though we've been saved and born again, sometimes we still get ourselves carried down with heaviness.
Yeah.
Sometimes we make some mistakes and our lives become ashes, burned ashes. And we need to have a renewal. We need to have a revival. We need to have a touch of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells in His people. You know, God just didn't save souls from an eternity in hell.
That's right.
Now, He did that.
Amen.
And I guess it's maybe the greatest thing that ever could be done is the thought that if you accept what Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary, let Him come into your heart and save your soul. He saves you from hell. You'll never go to hell. You're going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Man, that's a tremendous blessing.
Amen.
That's not all. That's just the beginning.
Amen.
That's the birthday. That's the entrance into a new life.
Amen.
Jesus brings something else. And the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ was He would come and dwell within our spirit.
That's right.
His Spirit comes to dwell within our spirit.
Amen.
Now, when we as an individual in the body of Christ allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through us, you know what He'll do? Same thing right here.
That's right, brother.
He'll proclaim good tidings unto the meek. Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. He'll take the church, and the church will bind up broken hearts.
Amen.
There were some broken hearts bound up last night.
Amen.
Wonderful. Wonderful time. He'll proclaim liberty to captives. Oh,
amen.
Praise God. It's a wonderful thing when the prison doors are set open.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even have to be in prison. Just get in the hospital bed for a little while. You'll be happy to see the prison doors open.
Amen.
Just walk around with a cast on your leg or a cast on your body for a while. Oh, after that 6 weeks, boy, you can finally scratch what you couldn't scratch for a long time. You can just do some things that you couldn't do. You're set at liberty. Oh, I think about the experiences of life. You know, I've got a saying. I say it all the time. I say, life's tough in San Antonio, or life's tough in the big city, you know. Somebody start crying or complaining about something. I say, well, life's tough in the big city, you know. Well, it is. It is. Did you know life's tough? Oh, life's not all peaches and cream. Life's not always going to be happy. Life's not always going to be successful. Everything's not going to work out the way you think it's going to. You're going to have disappointments, whether you lost or whether you saved. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust alike. I mean, the experiences and troubles of life come to all kinds of people. They're going to come in your house. They're going to come into your life. They're going to come in and destroy some of the happiness of some of your days. But oh, what does the Spirit of God do?
Amen.
The Spirit of God that dwells in our heart, He does the same thing today that He did then.
Amen.
He does the same thing because, see, the Spirit of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. A wonderful, beautiful thing happens. Jesus takes up His life within
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing.
Hallelujah.
And through you, He proclaims good tidings to the meek. He sends you to bind brokenhearted people. The Spirit of God within you binds broken hearts. We had testimony after testimony after testimony till after midnight last night of people who have been touched by the Spirit of God in somebody else.
Amen.
Some other person, some other life had been a blessing. Somebody else had lifted their heart. Somebody else had led them to Jesus Christ. Somebody else had come to them when they were in sin. Somebody else had told them how to be saved. Somebody else had come to them when they were discouraged or down or whipped and encouraged them and kept them going and lifted them up and were a blessing to them. What was it? It was the same Spirit of God that now dwells in you,
Amen.
Being turned loose through your body, through your mouth, through your
Amen.
Spirit. Bless your heart. He proclaims liberty to captives.
Amen.
He opens the prison to them that are bound.
Amen.
He proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord. He comforts all that mourn. And you know what He does? To all those that mourn. And you know, There were several. There were a lot here tonight, last night, with tremendous joy, and have been throughout these Thanksgiving meetings. Just tremendous joy. They haven't had any real problems. Their difficulties haven't weighed them down. But bless your heart, there were some here last night that have been drugged down this last year.
Amen.
Some with heavy, heavy burdens, almost whipped, almost out of the way, almost turning back, almost crying to the point of mourning. Do you know what it said? I'll give them beauty fresh.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God, if you just allow God to work in you, He'll let you spread beauty in place of ashes.
Amen.
Oh, the Spirit of God within your heart.
Amen.
He can bring you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Instead of walking around with that old heavy, dry, dead spirit that a lot of people equate with religion. Well, I don't have much good to say about religion.
Amen.
I think most religion is most of the time a waste of time. Amen. Jesus is reality.
Amen.
There's a difference between just religion and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I look at a lot of religion, and if I were in it, I'd be heavy too. If I had all the works and I had all the law, and I had all the plans and I had all the schemes that all the religion of the world is laid out for man, it would bring nothing but heaviness upon me.
Amen.
But once Jesus Christ set me free by saving my soul, by dying in my place, by coming into my heart and making me His child, praise God, I want you to know He sent me the spirit of praise, the spirit of joy.
Amen.
In place of heaviness.
Amen.
I got dressed up in a garment of praise.
Amen.
Put it on. That might be called the trees of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
The planting of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Planting of the Lord.
Amen. You know, there were some people walked out at some of these meetings. And when they walked out, they went out saying, the Lord's here.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, over the years, we've had some tremendous meetings like we've had there. That wasn't the first one we've ever had. We've had some tremendous meetings just like that. We've seen revival. We've seen the move of the Spirit of God touch people's heart and people confess sin and people tell people how much they loved them and they thank the Lord for them. And the Spirit of God reach and touch and heal through different ones. You know, I've gotten letters back from people and I've gotten phone calls and testimonies saying, you know, I was there and the Spirit of God was there and the Spirit of God touched my heart, changed my life, blessed me. Oh, listen, friend. We just need to be open.
Amen.
We just need to be open.
Amen.
That we can be used, that the Spirit of God can have His way. And you know what He'll say? That's trees of righteousness. That's the planting of the Lord. That's not some man's doing. That's not some denomination. That's not some scheme or method of church meeting. No, that's the Lord.
Amen.
That's a tree of righteousness. It's a planting of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a place where the Spirit of God moves. It's a place where the Spirit of God saves souls and changes lives.
Amen.
And without the Spirit of God, there is no life.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And it says that He might be glorified.
That He might be.
Amen. That He might.
Hallelujah.
You know, probably the first experience you have in getting saved is that I might be saved. That's as natural as can be.
Amen.
In fact, you need it.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough love for yourself and appreciation for where you're going to spend eternity, you'll probably be lost and go to hell. But by the grace of God, you know what you can come to? You can come to a place and say, man, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
I don't want what my father's had. I don't want what the rest of the world has. I want what Jesus can give. I want a real salvation. I want my sins forgiven, my soul saved, my life changed. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you come into the Christian life with basically a selfish desire, oh God, have mercy upon me and save me from the destruction that awaits me out there. Oh, my friend, as you grow in the Lord and as you learn to love Him, as you grow in the Lord and you learn to experience some things, you begin to see that He didn't just save you just so that you might be saved.
Amen.
But He saved you to raise you up, that you'd come to the place that you'd bring glory unto Him.
Amen.
And when a Christian can go through trials and troubles and they lift up their hand and say, praise you, Lord, you're altogether lovely. The troubles don't really matter. You're what matters. When a Christian can go through and see ashes in the life, everything they've worked for, everything they've planned on, burned down and just scattered out in the ashes, and they lift up the hands of praise and joy and thanksgiving and say, hallelujah,
amen,
praise the Lord God. Amen. It doesn't really matter what happens in this life. Lord, I thank You in spite of everything.
Amen.
Then I thank You because of everything. Because You do all things well. My, what a blessing it is.
Amen.
You know what it does? It brings glory to God.
Amen.
Because that's not the average human experience, my friend. That takes the grace of God within the life. You know, you turn with me over to John 14. Jesus would like for you not to be troubled.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly.
Yeah.
Jesus came for the abundant life.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come to take away all your joy, all your happiness. He came to bring a change in your life that would bring real, lasting joy and happiness and something that will last forever.
Yeah.
He makes a change in the life. You know, he says here in John 14, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
That where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
And whither I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then notice that last phrase, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
That's right.
I want you to understand the real secret of real salvation is a personal experience of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I want you to understand the real secret of joy in the Christian life as you walk through life in the future is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
It's the Spirit of God that saves souls, and it's the Spirit of God that brings joy and victory and sets liberty. I'm thankful that there is a way to be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Oh, my Christian friend, I'm not only looking forward to the pleasure that we have down here, and bless your heart, so far it's been a wonderful experience
Amen.
For me, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ these Amen. 29 years. Wonderful experience for me. I'm looking forward to a mansion in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If you think it was good last night, wait a minute.
Amen.
Look at John chapter 3. You know, there are several truths in the Bible. We all know them, and we can show them to people in the Bible. We deal with people all the time who disagree. And the truths are, you know, we could say about salvation that you're not saved by works. And no matter how good you are, you can't be saved by being good.
That's right.
And most people believe that. And we can show them in the Bible and how many times it says that nobody is saved by good works. And yet, they don't understand. They never come to the understanding because they don't understand the alternative. You know, that song says, what more can he say than to you he has said already? I mean, he's already said it all. A lot of people believe that our peculiar brand of salvation, our idea about real, complete salvation, you know, that we just sort of started it. 602 Oaknell sort of started it. Some people believe that. Some people believe it started back in the Reformation with the Protestants. Some people think it started back in with the Waldenses, and you know, some people, everybody has their idea when this ideology came about. But you know something? The whole problem is that they don't read the book.
That's right.
The book is what is our whole basis.
Right.
Our basis for believing that Jesus Christ completely saves once for all, that he does everything, does not depend upon any group anywhere. We go all the way back, not even just to the apostles. You know, some people think Paul did it. Some people think Paul perverted the gospel, and then he comes up with a whole brand new idea, and that Jesus didn't agree. But I'd like you to look at John chapter 3.
Amen.
You know something? The book is full of promises.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, I think, you know, why did God say all these things? We sort of have the idea that God, being so good and so merciful, that he owed it to man to love us and to provide us salvation. And yet that's missing the whole point. He didn't owe us anything, but he of his own free will offered it all to
Amen.
Us. Look what he says in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You know, that's not the only place it says that.
Amen.
Keep looking. I'd like you to see that Jesus Christ is offering a free, completely free offering to all those who just believe it. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Look at John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life.
Amen.
And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know, if that's all he had said, if those three verses I read is all he had said, it'd be enough to convince me.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, you know, the Lord Jesus, he's saying that of his own free will. Nobody's twisting his arm, making him. He's not obligated because he's a good God to say these things. He's saying it because he wants to give us eternal life. He says, whosoever. You know, the fact that he says whosoever means that it is definitely open to anybody on earth.
Yeah.
If he hadn't have said whosoever, then nobody here could be sure that he really meant you. But he said whosoever, and that means you.
Amen.
Look at chapter 6, verse 39. Look at verse 35 first. Chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at verse 39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have eternal life, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, Jesus has made it clear that the salvation he offers is completely free. We don't need even to go over to Romans. We don't need to look at what Paul said or what Peter said. We don't have to get into the theology of the thing. We don't have to argue with anybody who thinks that works is the way to get saved or that being good is the way to get saved. I mean, when Jesus said this, he's saying this is real salvation, complete salvation offered to anybody who just believes what
Amen.
He said.
Amen.
Look at verse 51, same chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What Jesus did, what he gave, says, will make anybody live forever. Look at chapter 7, verse 37. Sometimes, you know, I get tired of arguing with people about whether their works can handle it or not. I get tired of people who really think that they're okay, or that, you know, well, I might not be okay, but I'm as good as anybody else. And I want them to see how open the promises are of Jesus Christ. And I go back to John and I start reading all these verses of Scripture, and they're just beautiful. Look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Look at the promise there. Look what he says. If any man thirst, it doesn't matter who you are or how bad you are. The thief on the cross, he got thirsty and he came and drank. I'm telling you, Paul got thirsty, he came and drank. Peter got thirsty, he came and drank. Every one of us got thirsty and we came and drank. This is an offering, a free offering to any man that's thirsty. And he says that they're going to receive the Spirit, and that's going to make them live forever.
Amen.
Look at chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Amen.
You know, that's still not enough for you, is it? Oh man, I could just keep reading. There's more promises. We're not done yet. Look at verse 51 of chapter 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. We didn't invent this. I'm telling you, this is what Jesus said. This isn't even what John said Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. This isn't just what Paul explained about Jesus. This is what Jesus himself offered. God Almighty, dressed in human form, he came down and he made all kinds of wide open promises to anybody that would just believe it. Anybody that would just accept his word. Look at chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. A lot of people don't understand that word saved. You know, we talk to people all the time about, you can be saved. They don't understand, what does it mean saved? How do you be saved? They're talking like some people are saved and other people aren't saved. I'm telling you, there are some people who are saved, and Jesus was the one who started this kind of talk.
That's right.
He said, anybody, no matter who it is, anybody, if he comes in by me, by the door, he shall be saved.
Amen.
Isn't that something? He shall go in and out and find pasture. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give, I don't make them earn it, I don't make them deserve it, I just give unto them eternal life.
Amen.
And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm telling you, he made a promise, they shall never perish. Those that come to him shall never perish. Look at 11, chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked the question. You don't have to believe anything great. It's nothing special. He says, I'm saying something right now, and I'm wanting to know if you believe it. He said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Where are the works? Where is your merit? Where is your goodness? How can you earn such a promise? How can you deserve such a promise? How can you, alongside the thief on the cross, or alongside Paul, who calls himself the chief of sinners, how can you expect to earn such a promise? I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, Martha's looking for the resurrection. She says, oh, yeah, I know he's going to rise again someday. Jesus says, no, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He says, oh, don't you understand? Martha, your problem is you don't believe it yet. You don't believe the words that I'm speaking to you. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, I like that word whosoever again. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he says, shall never die. All you got to do is believe that. Now look at chapter 12 and verse 46. This is the last one that I'm going to come to. There's thousands more. I mean, we can go to other places, not even just the words of Jesus. We can show you the other three gospels, what he says. We can show you what the apostles that wrote, they remember what he said.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus gave a free promise hundreds of times to all those. He talked to people that hated him, and he said, look, you don't have to believe me. But believe the works that you might be saved. He talked to people. He said, I know that you don't believe in me. And I know you go about to kill me. And I know that you won't believe. He says, but I say these things unto you that you might believe. That you might have eternal life. Let me tell you something. Jesus was given an all completely free promise of salvation and eternal life to anybody. Not that has a whole great amount of faith, but somebody simple enough just to believe the words he said. Look what he says. Verse 46. 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Amen.
Now look at verse 47, and we're going to read on down, and you'll understand exactly what he's expecting. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now here's the point. Jesus Christ gave a promise. And this promise was so absolutely free and so very simple. Just believe the promise. Just believe all these times. You don't have to believe what Billy says. You don't have to believe my interpretation. You don't have to believe this group that was started by Martin Luther. You don't have to believe what George Whitfield said. You don't have to believe what John Huss said or anybody else. Just go right back to your own Bible. Open it up and read in the book of John. And he says, whosoever. And then he says, you're not going to be judged just for rejecting me. He says, the one that's going to judge you are the words that I've spoken.
Amen.
He says, here's the promise. You believe the promise and you have eternal life. You reject the promise and those words will judge you because they were completely free and open. You know something? It's not even going to be your great amount of sin that's going to do you in the last day. It's going to be the fact that he gave an absolutely open and free and complete promise and that you rejected that promise. That promise, you couldn't believe it. You know something? It's not necessary to be good to the end. It's not necessary to have a whole bunch of works to offer God. It's not necessary to be religious. It's not necessary to quit sinning. If it were, then nobody could be saved.
Yeah, amen.
It's only necessary to believe the very words that Jesus said. Amen. And that is what he said. I didn't misinterpret anything. I didn't change anything. There it is written just as clear as he could write it. It's not, the old English doesn't change a thing. You understand the old English good enough to see what he's saying. He says, if you believe in me, you've got eternal life. If you just believe these promises, you've got everlasting life. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or how bad you've been or how good you are or how religious or what background you came from. Everyone that believes on Jesus Christ has eternal life freely given from God.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing number 64 in the supplement.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord Jesus.
And he tried to change a lot of times.
And every time I tried to change, every time I tried to make myself right, every time I tried to put myself on the right path and decide to go straight, couldn't do it. Because you see, I had a nature inside of me that was warring against God. I had a nature inside of me that fought against God. And I got a verse to share. Chapter 5, and I'd like to read verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now look down at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what I come against most often in dealing with people is the fact that they think that I'm I don't know exactly what the word to use for it, but they think maybe I'm proud or maybe that I'm boastful or maybe that I think something great in myself because I can claim without a shadow of a doubt, with full assurance, with full promise that right now I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven when I die, and nothing's going to change that, and nobody can stop that, and there's no wall that's going to block me from getting there because I'm in somebody.
Amen.
I'm in Christ.
Amen.
You see, a Christian isn't evaluated in and a person, you can't judge who's a Christian and who's not a Christian by saying, okay, well, this person prays the rosary, this person goes to and does novenas all the time, this person does all these little rituals and is just so holy and has such a pious look about them all the time and does good to their neighbor and helps people, that person's a Christian, and to look over here and not see too much good about him and say, well, he's not a Christian. You see, we don't judge people. We can't judge people on the basis of just outward appearance. Now, you can pretty much get an idea who's real Christians and who's not by looking at their works. But you know, when God looks down, God doesn't see sacrifices. God doesn't see things that people do to try to get themselves closer to God. God evaluates you on one thing and one thing only. Are you in Christ?
Amen.
Are you out of Christ?
That's right. Amen.
He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ,
amen,
he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, the things that I couldn't quit, God quit for me.
Amen.
The things that I couldn't release myself from, God released me from them. And I can stand here with it. I can rejoice.
Amen.
I can rejoice. You know, I can look at some bad things that happen in circumstances and I could probably get myself down pretty quick. But you know, I've got no right to be down, because I've got somebody.
Amen.
That I'm in him and he's in me.
Amen.
And it's a relationship.
Amen.
You see, the Christian life is one of relationship. And you know, I don't know if you've been looking at yourself or anything like that, or you've been wondering just how we can be so bold to say that yeah, we're on our way to heaven, we're never more going to roam. But you know, don't presuppose, just look at the Word of God. See what the Word of God has to say about what real salvation is. You know, Brother Billy was reading some verses there in the Gospel of John. He was reading some good verses that he that believeth on me shall not perish.
Amen.
You know, we need to just get our eyes off the world. Get your eyes off of what religion has taught you so many years. It was a real blessing, you know, when you say your mother was 84 years old.
Amen.
And she got saved. Amen. You know what was a real blessing to me? Is when I saw an old couple sitting in this congregation, and I happened to be Rossi and Alex's, I guess Alex's parents. And as old as they were, and couldn't hardly speak any English, and yet they believed the gospel.
Amen.
And they got saved.
Amen.
You know, I don't know if my mom's ever gonna believe. I keep telling her, you know, hoping one day she will.
Yeah.
But you know, I can't force her to believe. But one thing I'm thankful for is when I see people just forget about their pride, when I see people forget about their superstitions and forget about their position and just seek to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what it's all about.
Amen.
It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
You may not see it. You may not feel it. I don't feel every day like all things are become new. There's sometimes when I pull up to a doc or something, somebody wants to give me a hard time about a load that I'm trying to deliver, and I really don't feel too saved when I'm trying to get them to just sign for it so I can get out of there, you know? And contentions are coming about, or sometimes when somebody comes up against me, I don't feel too saved, but I know that I am. Why is this? It's because I trust in a book. I trust I'm just foolish enough to believe that this word is true, no matter what my mind, my unstable mind might be feeling, or my heart might be feeling, or my mind might be thinking at the time. I'm just foolish enough to trust the book. You know, there's a reason for that. I could never of myself ever got such a strong assurance of faith in myself, because I'm like this most of the time, you know? And I could have never got that strength on my own. But you know, it's not my strength, because I'm trusting in another strength.
Amen.
You see, everything that a Christian is and everything that a Christian does is only done because Christ is doing it through him.
Amen.
Look down at that verse 21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. You know, I don't know if that means anything to you, but that means a whole lot to me. Because when I was bound with the chains of sins, and I couldn't break those chains of sins and those chains of guilt, and I couldn't break those of myself, there was one who came and died on a cross. There was one who suffered and bled and died so that when I believe on him, he could break those chains.
Amen.
It says he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. You know, all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see blood sacrifice after blood sacrifice after blood sacrifice. People in sin bringing to the priests their animals so that they could be sacrificed and the blood could be shed. You know, the God all the way through sets up something in the Old Testament, and that's that every time that a sacrifice is made, it's an innocent life paying for something that a guilty person has done. And that's what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. He didn't set up a bunch of rules and regulations and say, if you keep the Ten Commandments and you love your neighbor, you're going to be saved in the end if you do it good enough. It's not what he says, because he realized that, look, we can't do it. The best state we could get ourselves to is altogether vanity.
Amen.
The best we could ever evolve ourselves to is still vanity. We need Christ.
Amen.
We need Christ like we need Christ.
Amen.
Can't expound on that statement too much more, you know? But he says, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
And you know, that's a real blessing to me. Because I can stand up and I can say, okay, before the Father, I'm righteous. And you say, well, that's a pretty presumptuous statement. No, it's not. Because I'm in Christ.
Amen.
And when the Father looks down, I'm identified with somebody who never sinned. I'm identified with somebody who lay in that grave for 3 days after they crucified him and who rose up from the dead and is alive now and is ever living in the heavens. Amen. To make intercession for me and who dwells in me by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's who I can brag on. And that's who I can boast on. Me, I'm just a sinner. Just a wretch. I've got no worthiness to be here now. I've got nothing that I could say, well, I did this and that's why I'm worthy to be here. It's all of Christ.
Amen.
He said that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
You know, I don't know if some of you I know you're saved. Some of you I don't know too well. You know, I don't know where your standing is before the God of heaven. But you know, God has outlined very simply, you don't have joy in your life. You don't have an answer to answer the question of where will I go when I die. You don't have an assurance. You don't have things figured out to know that, hey, look, there's a place out there somewhere beyond the blue. If you don't have that figured out, let me tell you who to come to. Let me tell you who's the one to turn to that'll get you there. And it's not religion. It's not a priest. It's not a set of standards. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In order for you to gain eternal life and to get to heaven when you die, you must be in Christ. Well, you say, you may realize and say, look, yeah, I'm a sinner. I know it. And I'm not in Christ. But I'd like to be in Christ. You know, I'd like to be identified with Christ. I'd like me to dwell in Christ, and I'd like Him to dwell in me, but you just don't know how to get there. Well, that's the most beautiful part about...
Okay, I was ready to go some more. In fact, we went to gyms afterwards. I wanted to keep on going.
You know, when you get eternal life in your soul, when you get something real in your heart, and you're fed up with the vanity of this world, and you finally get something that's real, boy, isn't it good?
Amen.
And isn't it good to be around other people that believe like that?
Amen.
Isn't it a shame if you missed it?
Amen.
Just want to rub that in. Next time you're going to be there, right? He says in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, and verse 16. He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
And you know, a lot of people will say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, and that sets me straight, and I'm okay because I believe. But you know, the Bible has something that it's got to say about belief. It says that the devils also believe, and they tremble. You know, I want you to know that there's one out there who believes maybe even more than you do that Jesus died and Jesus was buried and Jesus rose again, because that very one is the one who killed Him, and His name is Satan. And he saw Him lay in that grave, and Satan thought that he had the victory, but when the third day came and Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Satan knew. And he knows now. And if he can get your ears stopped, if he can get your eyes closed so that you don't call upon God, so that you don't call upon Jesus Christ, if he can get you Christians to get down and out and to close your mouth, you see, he's in a fury right now because he knows that his time is short. But you know, God has already taken care of all that, because he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You know, Bible belief is something different than just mentally knowing in your head the facts. Because like I said before, it's a relationship.
Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12.
I want to show you how you can get that relationship with Jesus Christ today. He says, in verse 12 of chapter 1, he says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You see, this business about being born again, read the Gospel of John chapter 3. And you'll see that it isn't something that a religion made up. It's something that Jesus Christ made up.
Amen.
It's something that Jesus Christ came right out of His own mouth and says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And we've got people in this room today that are from every walk of life. We've got people from different countries and different cultures. And we've got people that grew up in different parts of this town and grew up in other states. And we got people with different lifestyles and different ways of looking at things. But you know, there's something that we all have in common one with another, those of us that are saved.
Amen.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the fact that we've been born into a family.
Amen.
And God uses the Bible and God uses His Word to show us that there's a similarity between our physical birth and a spiritual birth. You see, in order to gain a relationship with God, you've got to be born into His family.
Amen.
And unfortunately for that, you can't just be physically born and be in God's family. Oh, you may be God's creation, and God may have created you, yet you're not what He calls His son.
Right.
Unless you've been received Jesus Christ, and you've been born into the family of God.
Yes.
Look at that verse. He says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, all you've got to do is place your eyes in a different place. Is to look at your sin and say, "I'm sick and tired of my sin," and do what the Bible calls repentance, and turn from your sin and turn towards God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
it says you'll be sick.
Amen.
He says in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
We got a relationship.
Amen.
I got a family in this room today that's dear than my blood family has ever been. You know, my family this weekend is celebrating Thanksgiving in Arizona, I'm sure somewhere. But you know, I was there last Christmas and I just really didn't feel all that close to them, you know? I just really didn't feel like I had that much in common. I know I've been gone about 7 or 8 years now, and that's probably changed some things. But still, there's not that real fullness of joy that I had when I walked through the threshold and greeted some of my brothers and my mom and some of my grandmother. You know, there just wasn't all that much in common. Because none of them are saved, none of them, all of them are still pretty strong in the Catholic Church, and there's a difference there. Because when I go in there, the only thing that I'm thinking, and the thing that burdens and presses me down the most, is that they need to be saved.
Amen.
They've got to be saved, and I'm watching them day by day, minute by minute, rejecting Christ, and winding up in an eternity called hell. And you know, I can't do anything about it but tell them. But you know, I've got hope that one day the God who saved me, if He can save me, He can reach out and save them. But you know, what a joy it is to be able to walk through a door, to be able to walk into a building, and to be able to sit down with some brothers and sisters who don't love me because of what I do, who don't love me because of the things that I can do for them, that just unconditionally say, "You're my brother in the Lord, and I love you, and that's all that I need."
Amen.
And that makes me glad.
Amen.
And it makes me feel accepted. It makes me feel loved. And I'm thankful that I can see somebody walk through the door, and I know their past. I know what they've been into. Yet I can shake their hand, and I can look them right in the eye, and I can say, "Brother, I'm glad that you're here."
Amen.
And I can call them a brother.
Amen.
Boy, it's such a place of comfort.
Amen.
You know, all that's because I was born into the family.
Amen.
No, I didn't join like the song says, but I've been born into the family
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And it's a family that stretches all across this globe.
That's right.
It's a family that I can be traveling on the road and all of a sudden getting to talking to somebody over the radio or something and find out he's a Christian too. And we never see each other's face. We don't know what each other looks like. And we can start talking and start fellowshipping around the one who saved our soul.
Amen.
We're brothers in the Lord.
Amen.
And that makes me happy.
Amen.
And that makes me rejoice.
Amen.
And you know what? It's something that this family's always going to be together. This family isn't going to be torn apart by divorce or by strife or by hatred, because there's coming a day when the author and finisher of our faith is going to come down here, and He's going to reconcile all things in the flesh for good, and He's going to gather up everyone in Christ, and He's going to take us to heaven, and we're going to ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature."
Amen.
I'm thankful for the body of Christ.
Amen.
And if you're not in Christ today, why don't you call on His name?
Amen.
He says, "But if whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why don't you believe enough? Why don't you believe God enough? Just take Him at His word enough to get down on your knees and repent of your sins, and whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And just call on His name and ask Him to save you. And don't be, just forget about history. Forget about your tradition. Forget about your religion. And just call on God.
Amen.
And you know what God says? God says He's going to make you a new creature. He says every old thing in your life is going to pass away. And He says, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God." And He's going to give you life.
Amen.
He's not going to give you religion. He's not going to give you a weight so heavy to bear. He's going to give you what the Bible calls everlasting
life. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
This morning I was trying to think, man, I'm not a morning person. I don't really get up in the morning. I just kind of roll off the bed, and I hope I land on my feet. Otherwise, Linda's got to try to get me up off the floor and get me going. I'm like Billy. I kind of roll around in the bed trying to wake up for 20 minutes before I can finally get out of the thing, you know. And I was sitting there trying to think, man, After you make an ice cream sundae with a maraschino cherry on the top, what else do you put on it, man? After a meeting like last night, what's left for Sunday morning? You know, what's left for Sunday night? What can you do? I kept thinking, you know, Lord, well, now this is the time to take us out. I mean, what more can you give us? Go. I have no doubt, though, that we could have meetings. If our hearts were right, we could have meetings like that all the time.
Amen.
That if our hearts were truly thankful and praiseful, that we could find things to praise the Lord about all the time.
Amen.
I'm glad there's new voices here this morning. The rest of us are about done wore out. We done sing so many songs and preach so many messages and talk so much. It's good to have Steve and Sharon back.
Amen.
There's a song that we sing. I don't want to sing it, but I want to read a verse out of it. It's called How Tedious and Tasteless the Hour. I used to have a copy of it in my Bible that I carried around with me. But the second verse says, content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resign. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove, if Jesus would dwell with me there.
Amen.
You know, I have found that so true. So many things I thought were a palace, that I really thought were beautiful, that really shined in my mind, and I thought, boy, this is great. It proved to be nothing but a toy. And just like a little kid, after a while I got bored.
That's right.
And it turned out to be nothing. Some of the things we rest our hope in, Brother Eddie, I have no doubt that the military for you was a palace. I think you were blind, but I think for you it was a palace. To me it was a prison. But you know, I found something in that prison. When I look back on it now, I think, oh, did God bless me. If it weren't for that prison, I wouldn't be saved today. If it weren't for that prison, I wouldn't have met Brother Eddie. I wouldn't have met his daddy. I wouldn't have, God locked me away in a prison in Germany with almost no other Christians around but Eddie. I mean, I was low, you could tell. But you know, when I look back on it, that thing proved to me to be a palace. And I think about Lindell when he came back from the mission field, and God stuck him in a little box, and he said, oh, Lord, I want to do a work for you. God said, no, you learn how to teach school. Oh, God, I want to do a work for you. No, you just sit there. But you know, it sure looked like a palace last night, didn't it? He's still sitting here, and it just looked, I mean, it just blossomed out. It's like somebody opened the door, and I mean, you thought you were in prison, but you didn't realize that you were just in the antechamber coming into the palace. You just hadn't got all the way out of the closet yet, you know? And I was thinking of the way that the Lord blesses. I have a book by William S. Cochran. I'll read a portion of the appreciation in the front of it. He says, a letter from his pastor tells us that he does more for his callers than they do for him. He had a successful ministry in Indianapolis. He was an old Methodist preacher. And he had a successful ministry for years, and he got struck with a strange disease. It doesn't say what it was, but it started in his left leg, and it slowly paralyzed his body as it went up. And it would begin to lock his joints, and his joints would lock and swell, and the muscles would deteriorate, and it worked its way up his spine, and when it got back up, about midway up his spine, he went blind, and all of this happened within a 4-year space of time. And within 4 years, he was laid flat on his back in bed, not able to see, barely able to speak, not being able to feed himself. And this is a time when it says a letter from his pastor assures us that he does more for his callers than they do for him. He never sends his friends a doleful message, but is an optimist through and through. And this man, whose plan of life was changed by a power not his own, who was turned from a life of increasing effectiveness in a wide field of service into a quiet room to suffer, where the windows of the world about him have darkened in the night, lives on, loves on, hopes on, because the victory of faith, because he has the victory of faith, and has found the grace of God sufficient for all his need. We thank God for his example now, which is mightier than any sermon he ever preached. He knows that his disease is incurable, and he knows not when he shall be summoned to eternal life and light, but his victory is already won, and the rest is a small matter to him. Boy, what a testimony. You know, I think of all the striving I do sometimes in my study, and I'm working out with my concordances, and I mean, for me, it's like clay lifting weights, you know, to sit down and study. I mean, I really got to do something to sit down and concentrate and study and work on one thing for a while and try to write a sermon. And I think all the sermons the man preached and the testimony of his life was mightier than any sermon he ever preached.
Praise the Lord.
And we thank God more for his example than all the messages he gave us. You know why? Because all those years he was preaching that God can take you through anything.
Amen.
And that God's grace is sufficient for all
Amen.
Your needs. And he had a chance, blessed of God, to prove. And when he was laid flat on his back, he proved that his message was
Hallelujah.
The brother up from Abilene, what's his name? Brother John or whatever. Anyway, he was talking when Cindy died and we had the memorial service. He said, I don't have very much to say and I really don't have anything to preach about, he said, right now. Except I can say this, it sure gives me hope when I see Billy right now, because I know that what God said is true. Because Billy is living it right now. Because Billy got up and he said, no, I'm not leaving the mission field. I'm staying right here. This is where God sent me. If God takes away half of all my support, or if God takes away all the people I love, who cares? I mean, this is where God sent me, and this is what I want to do.
Amen.
And you know, I look at that and I think that man's testimony was mightier than the sermons he preached. But you know, he was actually the one that wrote this book, and he includes a poem in here. I want to read it to you. It says, "I see the wrong that round me lies. I feel the guilt within. I hear with groan and travail cries, the world confesses sin. Yet in the maddening maze of things and tossed by storm and flood, to one fixed trust my spirit clings. I know that God is good. I dimly guess from blessings known of greater out of sight, and with the chastened psalmist's own, his judgments too are right. I know not what the future hath of marvel or surprise, assured alone that life and death his mercy underlies.
Amen.
And if my heart and flesh are weak to bear an untried pain, the bruised reed he will not break, but strengthen and sustain." I look back and I look back on the last few years since I was saved, and some of the things that have happened to me, and I look in the lives of some of the people I know, some of the people who are dear to me, and the things that have happened in their lives. I look back on the testimony of the saints throughout history, and the testimony of the martyrs as they were slain. And I can see that bruised reed, he didn't break. But even in the midst of the wild storm, and even in the midst of the mighty wind and the mighty persecution, he strengthened it and sustained it and pulled it through. And we often talk about the breaking of Peter at the crucifixion of Christ. But you know, Christ said, "I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail."
Amen.
And it's evident that his prayers were answered, because his faith didn't.
Hallelujah.
And that reed, when it was broken almost to the point of being crushed, was upheld by him.
Hallelujah.
And was sustained through whatever he had to go
through. Amen.
Man, I praise the Lord for his strength and his sustenance. The times when he sustained me through things that should have broken me. I thank God for the times he sent people around or things around, and just his spirit that would bless me and would lift me up and would strengthen me in the midst of the deepest trial. I thank God for those prisons that I thought were prison that proved to be palaces in the end. You know, we suffer from such a bad delusion sometimes. We look and we think, because we see so short vision and we have no idea of the things, you know, in a year, the things that God can work. In 1 year's space of time, a year ago I would have had no idea that I would be where I am today. Living the way I am today. I had no idea. God brought situations and circumstances from parts of the world I didn't know nothing about. And I looked at it and I see the way he just brought it right in the nick of time. Just, and there it was. And it just bridged the gap. And now I look out on the future and I think, you know, it can't be that bad. I don't know what God's got out there. I don't know the things he's got operating in the world that are going to fall in place just in time in my life.
That's right.
Just the way he's got them planned.
Amen.
Just when he wants them to be there. But I look and I have faith and I think, I know he's going to do it though.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for it. And I look at some of the brothers now who are in a box, you know, especially the brothers without a job, because I understand that. And I have to say to you, you know, that prison is going to prove to be a palace one day.
Amen.
And I can say that with faith and assurance because I know it. And I've seen it work in my life and in the life of others. Just when you think you're in a box that you'll never escape, God opens the door,
Amen.
And you realize you're just in the antechamber, just leading into the palace. And in all those things that you want to place your hope, and all those new cars and new houses and fantastic palaces, they're really just toys. Brother Dennis has a saying that always gets me. You know, he's such a practical, spiritual brother. He looks down whenever something goes wrong, and he looks at it and says, looks flammable to me. Looks flammable to me. I didn't get over it. I guess I can't worry too much about it.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And those palaces are toys. And those prisons that God puts us in, a Christian is never in a prison as long as he's a Christian. I mean, a man is never in a prison as long as he's a Christian.
Right.
He is always at liberty with Christ.
Amen.
And that prison is always to him sanctified by promise of God that it will work to his good.
Amen.
And to God's glory. It will prove to be a palace in the end. Hold the faith, brethren.
Amen.
Don't let it wane. And thank God for that prison. Because really, it's a palace.
Hallelujah.
You're just deluded. You just don't see it yet. And I know if I get into prison tomorrow, I may not feel that way. And I hope you can come back and deliver the same message to
Amen.
Me. But I hope today it's an encouragement to you, especially after last night's meeting. And we had all the testimony about all the things that God has brought us through. And how God has blessed in those prison houses. And how God has blessed when we were boxed in. And how he was going to box this in. And then he blessed it. And it turned out to be a palace for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brethren.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was singing hymn number 249. Let's remain seated. You know, we've had several messages about salvation. You may be here without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me invite you to accept him as your Lord and Savior today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation and now is the accepted time. Let me assure you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you on Calvary's cross. He'll forgive your sins and save your souls if you'll call upon him. You can bow your head right where you are right now and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul. I want to sing about three verses of Just As I Am without one plea. That thy blood be shed for me. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Well, you see, that's the truth.
Amen.
Just as you are.
Yes.
Jesus Christ will forgive your sins. He'll save your soul and change your life. If you're here this morning and you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand up wherever you are. Just stand up wherever you are. And by doing so, you say, I today I want to repent of my sins and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. As we sing, we just sing.
Yes, that's your land.
Accept
it. anyone here today as you listen to the invitation. Maybe you listen to the gospel being preached today by various preachers and testimonies. Maybe you want to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let me tell you what we'll do. If you'll stand up, we'll have somebody go with you off in a private room, take the Bible, and show you how to be saved. Is there one here? Would you say anyone? All right. Let me invite you then. I got greetings from Kevin and Dee Dee. They called up and said, I want to tell everybody hello. We can't make it now, but maybe next year in the mission conference, the Thanksgiving conference, we'll be back with you. Praise the Lord. I got a terrific letter from Brent. All the missionaries probably need to read it. Some rest of you get a good laugh out of it. He's talking about all the results he's having while they're all gone. He's going to get the whole town saved before they get back. No, really, really good. We thank the Lord for these sweet brothers. Now, some of you maybe guests that have just come in and you don't know really what's going on around here. We've been to a Thanksgiving conference Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. We're going to go through Sunday night. And each day we've had a Thanksgiving feast, a dinner. Right now, back here in the little kitchen we have, there's enough food to feed everybody in this room.
Amen.
There's enough food for everybody here to eat and enjoy it and to feast and to stay with us. And we invite you all to stay.